I had the wonderful privilege of being raised in the church since I was a child. I've always known the Word of God. It was impressed upon me as a young boy. The church where I grew up focused primarily on the New Testament. And when they did go to the Old Testament, they kind of just told Bible stories rather than really get into a lot of the depth of the Old Testament. When the Holy Spirit called me into the ministry, something happened. I don't think I initiated it. I knew that I could never understand fully and communicate the New Testament until I had to catch up on the Old Testament. So I did something very intentional. For 3 years, I spent focusing specifically on studying the Old Testament. I studied the kings, I studied the prophets, I studied anything I could study in the Old Testament. The Old Testament law, the feast, the tabernacle, the everything. And God did something. God did something that I can only say that he could do, is he opened my mind to put together the whole picture. And I could never understand the New Testament until I went back and understood the Old Testament that the New Testament was built upon. And that has greatly affected me. It affected my life, how I read the Bible. Ultimately, I need to tell you this. Everywhere in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, everywhere in there is Jesus. Everywhere. Every page reveals him. He's everywhere. And until you start reading the Bible like that, then you're missing much of the power of the scripture. So many incredible stories are there. So today we're going to do something. We're going to journey back into the Old Testament to study the lives of two kings. The nation of Israel, that was united as one nation during the time of King David, is now divided into two nations. The northern kingdom of Israel with its capital in Samaria, and the southern kingdom of Judah and its capital in Jerusalem. Two kings and a lying spirit that reveal, listen, that I today believe reveal today's reality. Two kings and a lying spirit that reveal today's reality. And I'm going to give you a heads up. It's a two-parter. You're going to need to come next week and hear part two because it's the end of this story of these two kings. It's called Bad Company next week. One king was over Israel, the northern kingdom, and he is rotten to the core. His name is Ahab. Let me tell you what the Bible says about this King Ahab of the northern kingdom of Israel. 1 Kings 16:29. Ahab, son of Omri, began to rule over Israel in the 38th year of King Asa's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria for 22 years. They didn't have term limits back then, did they? 22 years. But Ahab, son of Omri, did what was evil in the Lord's sight, even more than any of the other kings before him. And as though it were not enough to follow the example of Jeroboam, he married Jezebel, the daughter of King Ethbaal of the Sidonians, and began to bow down in worship of Baal. First, Ahab built a temple and an altar to Baal in Samaria. Then he set up Asherah pole. He did more to provoke the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than any of the other kings of Israel before him. How would you like that to be your resume? You're the most disgusting king in history. This king is rotten. He's rotten to the core, and he married an even more rotten wife. Her name is Jezebel. 1 Kings 21:25. No one else so completely sold himself. Notice that. No one else so completely sold himself to what was evil in the Lord's sight as Ahab did. Why? How? Under the influence of his wife Jezebel. His worst outrage was worshiping idols, just as the Amorites had done, the people whom the Lord had driven out from the land ahead of the Israelites. He was more rotten than the Amorites that God had removed from the land when they moved in. The leadership under the northern kingdom of Israel was rotten, and guess what happens? Because the leadership was rotten, the people became rotten too. Notice that King Ahab was king during the time, he's up in the north, Israel, during the time that the king in the south, his name is King Asa in Judah. Eventually, while King Ahab was still king, King Asa dies. And he is replaced with his son named Jehoshaphat. How would you like to have that name in junior high? Be rough, wouldn't it? And by the way, King Asa, down to the south in Judah, was a good and righteous man. And his son, Jehoshaphat, was a good and righteous man too. So today, two kings and a lying spirit that reveal our present reality. Yes, even today. 2 Chronicles 17. Let's check out Jehoshaphat. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father's early years and did not worship the images of Baal. He sought his father's God and obeyed his commands instead of following the evil practices of the kingdom of Israel. Now, you know who that is? That's Ahab. Rather, he sought after the true God rather than following the God of the king up north, Ahab. So the Lord established Jehoshaphat's control over the kingdom of Judah. All the people of Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat, so he became very wealthy and highly esteemed. He was, notice the words, he was deeply committed to the ways of the Lord. And he did something. He wasn't just committed ideologically to the ways of the Lord. He does something physical. He removed the pagan shrines and the Asherah poles from Judah. Get that stuff out of here. He takes it out. These two kings and these two kingdoms were totally different, totally opposite. In fact, what's interesting is that idolatry that Ahab was setting up, Jehoshaphat was tearing down. Ahab would set it up and Jehoshaphat would tear it down. And God blessed Jehoshaphat, this righteous king. And then he does something that I find absolutely amazing. He sends out teachers throughout his kingdom to teach the word of the Lord to the people. He so loves the word of the Lord himself that he educates teachers in the word of the Lord and sends them out into the nation of Judah to teach the people of Judah the word of the Lord. Now, what do you think is going to happen to a people that has that kind of a government leader and that kind of a system? Let's go to verse 9. Jehoshaphat, they took copies of the book of the law of the Lord. They took copies and traveled through all the towns of Judah, teaching the people. Now he's teaching them what we would know today as Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. The law. He's teaching them. And what would happen? Look at what happens. Verse 10. Then, once the word of the Lord reaches the people, and it reaches the people around the people, the surrounding nations, then the fear of the Lord fell over all the surrounding kingdoms. Well, why? Because soldiers came? No, because the word came. The word came, and suddenly all the surrounding kingdoms fell into the fear of the Lord, so much so that none of them wanted to declare war on Jehoshaphat because the word made them afraid of Jehoshaphat's power. Some of the Philistines, you know those guys, that's the dreaded enemy, right? Some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat gifts and silver as tribute. Why? Because the word of the Lord had gone out. Now the Philistines are bringing tribute to King Jehoshaphat. And now here comes the Arabs. And the Arabs, which again, arch enemies, right? They don't like Israel. They don't like Judah. They brought 7,700 rams, 7,700 male goats. Gifts. Why? Because the word of the Lord's gone out. So Jehoshaphat became more and more powerful and built fortresses and storage cities throughout Judah. He stored numerous supplies in Judah's towns and stationed an army and seasoned troops in Jerusalem. Notice biblical evangelism. He's sharing the word of God. And as he shares the word of God, the Philistines bring gifts and the Arabs bring gifts. And he builds this incredible military and God's blessing and prosperity is upon the people. His military strength grew. Why? Because he built more materials of war? No, because he taught the people the word of God. And he created a military power. Now stop for a moment and I want you to contrast these two nations. Rotten to the core, idolatrous Israel up north under King Ahab. And seeking righteousness and teaching the word of God to the people under King Jehoshaphat in Judah. These two nations are nothing alike. They are absolute opposites. And then something happens. They're going in two different directions, two different people. And then something happens. Two kings. And a lying spirit that reveal our present reality. King Jehoshaphat makes a terrible mistake. He makes a political alliance with the evil King Ahab and arranges a marriage of their children to seal the deal. 2 Chronicles 18:1. Jehoshaphat, he's the righteous king, enjoyed great riches and high esteem, and he made an alliance with King Ahab of Israel by having his son, Jehoshaphat's son, marry Ahab's daughter. Now, what do you think Thanksgiving dinner is going to be like at that house? Whoa. A few years passed by under this new family-based political alliance, and between Ahab and Jehoshaphat, and then this happens. Now, the marriage has been sealed, so now they've got this family connection between Judah and Israel. Verse 2. A few years later, he went to Samaria. He's Jehoshaphat. He went to Samaria to visit King Ahab, who prepared a great banquet for him and his officials. They butchered great numbers of sheep, goats, and cattle for the feast. And then Ahab enticed Jehoshaphat to join forces with him to recover Ramoth Gilead. Will you go with me to Ramoth Gilead? King Ahab of Israel asked King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Jehoshaphat replied, here he comes. By the way, our kids are married, so somehow now everything's changed. Why, of course, I'll go with you to Ramoth Gilead. Why, of course, you and I are as one. What? They've made this alliance. Their families are now connected. You and I are as one, and my troops are your troops. We will certainly join you in battle. Let me ask everybody before I get into the rest of the story, you think this is a good idea? Should this righteous king join forces with this unrighteous king? Two kings and a lying spirit revealing today's present reality. Ramoth Gilead, what's the deal with that? It was an Israeli ancestral town that had been taken in a battle by the Arameans, and King Ahab wanted it back. The two kings are about to find a point of conflict. This is important, what I'm about to say. The two kings are about to find their first major point of conflict. Which spirit will they seek? There's two kings, and there's a lying spirit in this story. And which spirit will they seek counsel for before they perceive? And you need to understand today, there are only two spirits. There is the Holy Spirit and there is the unholy spirit. There is the spirit of truth and there is the spirit of the liar. He is the lying spirit. There's only two. So you got two kings and you got a lying spirit. To whom will they inquire? Before they take their nation to war, to whom will they inquire, these kings? Verse 4. Then Jehoshaphat added, first, let's find out what the Lord says. I told you, he's a good man. He's made a bad deal, a bad alliance, bad family connection, yeah. But he's a godly man. He says, first, before I go to war with you, before I take our troops into battle, let's find out what the Lord says. Now, he's in Samaria. He's in Ahab's country. So the king of Israel, Ahab, summons the prophets, 400 of them. Whose prophets? They're Ahab's prophets. So he summons, you already know about Ahab, right? He's this Asherah guy. He does this Asherah poles. He's got this Baal worship thing going on. So he summons 400 prophets and he asks them, should we go to war against Ramoth Gilead or should I hold back? And they all, 400 of them. You can't get 400 people to agree on anything. And they all said, yes, go right ahead. God will give the king victory. Two kings and a lion spirit. Now, I'll tell you again, this banquet's in Samaria, Ahab's house, and Ahab has 400 prophets. But who are they? Who are these 400 prophets of King Ahab? Were they prophets of Baal? Were they prophets of Asherah? Or they were just generic prophets, which means I can just prophet about anything, about anybody. Who were these guys? You know, the Bible doesn't ever specifically say, but you got a pretty good idea about what happens next. What's interesting to me is what Jehoshaphat says next. Jehoshaphat has just heard 400 guys tell King Ahab what he wanted to hear. You got this. Whatever you want to do, you got it. Everything's going to be fine. Go. You're going to win the battle. But Jehoshaphat, something is different about Jehoshaphat. He's a man of God who has sought after God, who knows the word of God. He's connected to God, and he smells a rat. He smells something's not right here. Something's not right. And verse 6, here's what he says. But Jehoshaphat asks, is there not also a prophet of the Lord here? Well, then who's these 400 guys? Is there not also a prophet of the Lord here? Can you imagine being one of those 400 guys thinking, well, who do you think you are? Who are we? Is there not also a prophet of the Lord here? We should ask him the same question. You see, Jehoshaphat already has some discernment that is superior to these 400 false prophets. This tells me that he knew. He knows in his heart these 400 guys are not speaking legitimately for the Lord. Yes, that's what makes this story so interesting. Yes, there is a prophet. One. There is a prophet of the Lord here in Samaria. Yep. I'm not talking about down in Judah, in Samaria. But King Ahab doesn't like him. Does that surprise anybody? That King Ahab has 400 prophets that he just loves. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. You know why? You always tell me what I want to hear. That's why I love you. But there's one prophet he doesn't like. You know why? Well, let's find out. Verse 7. Now, this is a response to Jehoshaphat saying, isn't there a prophet of the Lord here in Samaria? The king of Israel replied to Jehoshaphat, there is one more. That means there's 401 of them. There's one more man who could consult the Lord for us, but I hate him. What? I hate him. He never prophesies anything but trouble for me. His name is Micaiah, son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat replied, that's not the way for a king should talk. He's scolding his brother now. That's not how a king should talk. Let's hear what he has to say. Come on, bring this guy in. Bring Micaiah in. So the king of Israel called one of his officials and says, quick. I don't imagine he thought he wanted it to be quick either. Quick, bring Micaiah, son of Imlah. Now, what you do not realize, unless you know this story in detail, is Micaiah's in jail. And he's in jail because why? Because King Ahab hates him. And he never says anything Ahab likes, so he just keeps him locked away. That way you don't have to listen to him. So he's in jail. And they're going to have to get him out of jail before he can come tell these two kings whether or not they should proceed with this military campaign. I think this story, can I pause for a moment and tell you, I would pay good money to watch this on movie screen. This is an incredible story, okay? And this is real. This is real. So the prophet Micaiah, which King Ahab hates, shows up. And now this one guy, listen, you got to see this in your mind as I tell you the story. Now this one guy stands against the council. He enters the room against 400 prophets of the evil King Ahab. And you talk about some political pressure. You ever faced any political pressure? And I can hear Jehoshaphat saying, is there not also a prophet of the Lord here? We should ask him before we proceed. Go to verse 9. King Ahab of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah, dressed in the royal robes. Can you picture it? I want you to put it in your mind. Dressed in the royal robes, are sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor near the gate in Samaria. And all of Ahab's prophets, there's 400 of them. They've got their fancy clothes on. There's 400 prophets of them. And here comes what? Here comes one guy. And all of Ahab's prophets were prophesying in front of these kings, telling these kings everything they want to hear, right? What do you want to hear today? Yep, yep, yep. And Ahab, I love you, I love you, I love you. And here comes Micaiah. One of the 400 false prophets, Zedekiah, son of Kenaiah, made some iron horns and proclaimed, this is what the Lord says, with these horns you will gore the Arameans to death. And all the other prophets said, amen, amen, yes. They said, go up to Ramoth Gilead and be victorious, for the Lord will give the king victory. This war is going to be a piece of cake. The horns are a picture of these two kings goring the enemy Arameans. But wait a minute, here comes that hated prison prophet named Micaiah. Ahab's political advisors do something before they let him come into the room. Ahab's political advisors, they've got it worked out because it's not going to look good if Micaiah comes in and does what Micaiah normally does. So they tell him this, verse 12. Meanwhile, the messengers who went to get Micaiah said to him, look, all the prophets are promising victory for the king. All the prophets are telling the king, everything's going to be okay. Whatever you want to do, go do it. The Lord's with you. Be sure that you agree with them and promise success. But Micaiah replied, now where's he coming from? Prison. Why is he in prison? Because he's not going alone. Is this his chance to get out of jail? This is your get out of jail free card, right? What? All you got to do to get out of jail free is go along with the 400 prophets, right? Verse 13. But Micaiah replied, as surely as the Lord lives, I will only say what God says. Ooh. I told you this make a good movie. I wonder if I or you can find one in 400 like that today. I'm going to stop for a moment. I'm going to ask you. I wonder if any of us can find one in 400 like that today who will say, I will only say what the Word of God says. Only. Two kings and a lion spirit that reveals today's reality. That, my friend, is why King Ahab hates him. Why? I will only say what God says. Micaiah will not tell Ahab what he wants to hear. And what he wants to hear, simply speaking, is this: whatever you want to do is okay with God. But he can't do it because he knows it's not okay with God. So he has this conflict. And this conflict has placed him in prison. But if you'll go along, you can get out of prison. But Micaiah knows about another prison. A prison that you put yourself in when you deny the truth. You see, Micaiah is not a people or a king pleaser. He's a God pleaser. Only the Word of God. King Ahab hates this guy, and the only reason he's in the room, the only reason that he's not in jail that day, the only reason that he's even allowed to come into the room is because King Jehoshaphat, a righteous man, requires it. Is there not a man of the Lord that will speak on this? So King Ahab, here comes Micaiah, he's in the room, 400 people, everybody's dressed up real nice. He's been told, you got to go along. So King Ahab gets right down to business. Verse 14, when Micaiah arrived before the king, Ahab asked him, Micaiah, should we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or should I hold back? Okay, good question. Micaiah replied sarcastically. Why did he have to be sarcastic? I mean, you just got out of jail, buddy. He replied sarcastically, and I'm gonna add a little flavor to this. Yeah, go on up and be victorious. You got this, Ahab. Go on, you got it. That's why he hates him. He hates this guy. And don't forget, he just got out of jail. Now he seems totally unafraid of this king that's put him in jail. Verse 15, but the king replied sharply, how many times must I demand that you speak only the truth to me when you speak for the Lord? Now what comes next? Listen, what comes next is why I wrote this sermon. Two kings and a lying spirit revealing our present reality. Here we go. Pay attention because it gets really good. Verse 16, then Micaiah told him in a vision, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep without a shepherd. Now listen, he's talking about the soldiers under King Ahab's military. I saw all of them laying scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, their master has been killed. Send them home in peace. The soldiers, most of them are going to survive, but the king, Ahab, you're going to die. Verse 17. Didn't I tell you? Ahab's looking at Jehoshaphat. Didn't I tell you? The king of Israel exclaimed to Jehoshaphat, he never prophesies anything but trouble for me. And then Micaiah continued, listen to what the Lord says. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. This man knows the future. God has shown Micaiah the future. And he's not ashamed of the future that God has announced to him. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the armies of heaven around him, on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who can entice King Ahab of Israel to go to battle against Ramoth-Gilead so he can be killed? There were many suggestions. And finally, a spirit approached the Lord and said, I can do it. How will you do this? The Lord asked the Spirit. And the Spirit replied, I will go out and inspire all of Ahab's prophets to speak lies. You will succeed, said the Lord. Go ahead and do it. So you see, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of your prophets, all 400 of them, Ahab. For the Lord has pronounced your doom. And then Zedekiah, he's one of the 400 prophets of Ahab. Zedekiah walked up to Micaiah and slapped him across the face. Since when did the Spirit of the Lord leave me and speak to you, Micaiah? And Micaiah replied, you'll find out soon enough when you're trying to hide in some secret room, because Micaiah had also seen his doom. This man of God is fearless. He doesn't hold anything back, even though he knows it's going to cost him everything to stand against the lying prophets and the lying spirit and this evil king. Micaiah says, as surely as the Lord lives, I will say only what my God says. What my God says. And I want everybody to pause for a moment, and I want to ask you a strange question. Do you want to be a man of God? Do you want to be a woman of God? Are you sure? The odds aren't real good. He stands one among 400. He's just getting out of jail. Are you sure? You need to count the cost of being a disciple. Jesus says, before you ever start this journey, you need to figure out this cost, because it's going to cost you something. That's why the prosperity gospel is so foolish. It's going to cost you something. Do you want to be one of those guys who stands against the crowd, against the wave? Only the Word of God. Because see, what got Micaiah in trouble is this: I will only hold to the Word of God. Only. And I can tell you right now what that means. Jesus in Mark 13:13. Listen, this is so powerful. And the church, you need to understand this, especially right now in America. Jesus said, and everyone will hate you because you're my followers. Why did they hate Micaiah? Only what God says. And Jesus says, everyone will hate you because you're my followers. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Why did they hate Micaiah? Why will they hate you? Because you won't go along with this lying spirit. There's only two spirits. Listen, there's only two spirits. There's the holy and there's the unholy. There's the spirit of truth and there's a lying spirit. And everybody's following one of these two spirits. Everybody. And if you follow the Holy Spirit, the spirit of truth, the lying spirit, inside of people who are under the influence of the lying spirit will hate you because you won't go along. You won't say everything's going to be okay, because this says that everything's not going to be okay. In fact, what this says is, Ahab, you're going to go into that war listening to the lying spirit, and you're going to die. But the lying spirit says you're not going to die. But they're lying. You are going to die. And yes, there's only two spirits. Back to Micaiah, verse 25. Arrest him. What? Arrest him. The king of Israel ordered. Take him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to my son Joash. Give them this order from the king. Put this man in prison. Here we go again. Feed him nothing but bread and water until I return safely from the battle. Are you getting it? I'm going to prove to you that the lying spirit's better than your truth spirit, because you're not going to get anything but bread and water until I come back. Well, the problem is, he ain't coming back. But either way, Micaiah's going back to jail. But Micaiah replied, if you return safely, Ahab, it'll mean that the Lord has not spoken through me. And then something happens. Whoa. And then he says, is he bold? You see what the word of God does to you when you really believe it? There's power. And then he added to those standing around, everyone, hey, everyone, mark my words. You know what he's saying? I'm going to jail, and you say I'm going to get bread and water, and that's all I'm going to get until you come back. Mark my words, you ain't coming back. Mark my words, you're not coming back. For the sake of time, I'm going to summarize what happens next. Yes, they take Micaiah back to jail, and he gets bread and water because he fears God more than he fears man. The two kings listen to the lying spirit of the 400 false prophets, and they go to war against the Arameans. King Ahab, I told you he's a rat. He convinces Jehoshaphat to wear the royal robe, and King Ahab dresses up like a common soldier. How in the world he got Jehoshaphat to go along with that idea is beyond me. Are you ready? Because everything Micaiah said is going to happen is going to happen. Everything. Mark my words, he said. Verse 31. So when the Aramean chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat in his royal robes, they went after him. There's the king of Israel, but he's not the king of Israel. He's the king of Judah. But he's dressed in the royal robes, so they think he's the king of Israel. But they shouted, this is the king of Israel. But Jehoshaphat called out to the Lord, and he saved him. Now listen, this is so important in this story. Where these guys were with God before this battle started is going to determine their outcome. And I'm looking at everyone listening to me today. Where you are with God before this next battle starts is going to determine your outcome too. Where you are with God before the battle starts is going to determine your end. Because there is a battle coming. So Jehoshaphat's in his royal robes and all the soldiers come after him. But Jehoshaphat called out to the Lord, and he's already with the Lord. He's connected to the Lord. He loves the Lord. He knows the word. He's teaching the word. He's in a bad alliance, but that God's grace compensates for the bad alliance. Jehoshaphat called out, and the Lord saved him, and God helped him. God helped him. God helped him by turning the attackers away from him. And as soon as the chariot commanders realized that he's not the king of Israel, God's coming. He's intervened. He's protecting his man. In the storm, he's protecting his man because he's his man. And where you are before the battle begins will determine your outcome in this coming battle. I'm telling you. You're going to find out what that means in a minute. They stopped chasing him. I can see Jehoshaphat going, whew, that's close. And an Aramean soldier randomly shot an arrow at the Israelite troops, and he hit the king of Israel in the joints, in the crack of his armor. Turn the horses and get me out of here, Ahab said. I wonder in that moment, did he think, Micaiah? He was right. Ahab groaned to the driver of the chariot, get me out of here. I'm badly wounded. The battle raged all that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot facing the Arameans. In the evening, just as the sun was setting, he died. Randomly? How could it be randomly if Micaiah saw it in advance? Two kings and a lying spirit. Do you know why I preach this sermon today? I wonder how many of you picked up on it. There are two kings and a lying spirit here today. On the earth today, two kings and a lying spirit. There is King Jesus. He is presently on the earth in the power of the Holy Spirit. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's a righteous king. He is the true king. He's the real and eternal king. And there's a false king. And he is rotten, even more rotten than King Ahab. He is Satan. And he is right now in power and authority on this earth. And there is a lying spirit. John, the Apostle John, calls him the spirit of Antichrist, against Christ. There is a great battle in front of each of us today. Whether you want to believe me or not will be totally up to you. There is a great battle coming. And I ask each of you, to whom will you inquire? Which spirit will you seek counsel? Who will you approach when you go into this battle for counsel? There's only two spirits. One spirit tells you everything's going to be okay. Whatever you want to do is okay. Just go on and do it. Everything's okay. He's a lying spirit. And there's another spirit, and he says, only God's word. To whom will you listen? Now, I'm going to tell you, you've been here for the last several weeks. You've heard me say multiple times, I don't believe this COVID-19 thing is the end. I think the COVID-19 is only the lever, the bar, the power through which a new world order has been opened. And something else is coming. I'm not sure what, when, or how much of it, but it's coming. And there is a great battle. And at the end of that great battle, there is something that you cannot deny today. There is a grave. And there's going to be Jehoshaphats and there's going to be Ahabs. And who you are when that battle begins will determine your outcome. Because in that battle, Jehoshaphat was going to die. He called out to the Lord and he didn't. Because he's a man of God, only the word of God. But in that battle, Ahab called out to the Lord and he doesn't make it. Two kings and a lion spirit, people pleasers, or the word of God. We're in a spiritual war. Now, I look at the audience today and I can say, some of you get it. Some of you have no clue whatsoever. No clue whatsoever that you are in a spiritual war. You think this is some kind of physical manifestation. This is a spiritual war that's raging in the heavenly realms. It's not about people. It manifests itself inside of people, but it's about this power between God and Satan and this war in the spirit realm. I can tell you today that all power, dominion, and authority has been given to Jesus Christ. He is the chosen, rightful king, and he will be the last one standing. The coming battle will put Jesus squarely and solely on the throne of his ancestor David. And I look around the room today and I wonder what you're thinking when I say that. I really do. He's going to come to this earth and he's going to sit on a throne literally in Jerusalem. And some of you have no concept of that future reality. No concept. You've been in the church your whole life and you still don't grasp that reality. That there is a king coming. And he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives. He's going to walk through the eastern gate of a Jerusalem temple. And he's going to sit on the throne of David. And he's going to reign on this present earth with justice and righteousness from that day forward into eternity. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Because I'm going to tell you, let me read to you the simplest version I can possibly imagine. When the Virgin Mary is approached by the angel Gabriel, he tells her before she even conceives the Christ child this. Luke 1:30. Don't be afraid, Mary. The angel told her. For you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be very great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High God. And here it comes. Are you ready? And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And let me tell you something. That throne is not in heaven. That throne is on the earth in Jerusalem. And he will reign over Israel forever. And his kingdom will never end. Do you understand? You have advanced knowledge of the spiritual war and its conclusion. You know it if you believe the word of God. The world will hate you if you align your life with this coming king. The world will hate you if you align your life with this coming kingdom of Jesus. The world will hate you if you, like Micaiah, say, only the word of God will I put my trust. It will hate you. There is another king here today. You need to acknowledge his reality. He is even more evil than Ahab. This present world is under the temporary power and the temporary kingdom of Satan. But I can tell you it's temporary. And he knows it. He knows it. He knows his time is short. Revelation says he knows his time is short, and he's filled with rage and fury because he knows he's going to run out of time. But I can tell you what's going to happen. Romans 16:20 says, "For the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." Two kings and a lying spirit revealing our present reality, the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit against Christ. A great battle is quickly approaching when a powerful deception will be loosed upon the earth. In fact, let me just say, I believe that we are already in the time where the powerful deception of the lying spirit is already on this earth. Do you understand that? What happened? What in the world would make King Ahab and 400 people walk straight into their grave? A lying spirit. You know what the spirit said? You'll be okay. But you're not going to be okay. It's a lie. You're not going to survive this thing, Ahab. But he's got this delusion. He cannot see the truth. Micaiah tells him the truth, but he cannot see it. What would happen to a people that fell under this lying spirit where everything's upside down? Good is evil and evil is good. It has been announced in advance. Listen, I'm going to tell you, it's been announced in advance this lying, deceptive spirit is going to bring upon the earth in the last days a delusion, a destructive delusion, which means you cannot discern truth. And the only way you're going to survive this, remember what I said earlier? Who you have as truth before the battle begins will determine your outcome. If you go into this battle, and we're in a battle now, if we go into this battle with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth in us, you're going to survive the battle. But if you go into this battle without the Holy Spirit, you won't survive. And I'm going to read to you why. Because you're going to fall under the spirit of delusion. It's a great power. Just like Ahab would walk into his grave. Why would you go into the battle when Micaiah says you're going to die if you go in there? 2 Thessalonians 2:9, I'm going to read it to you. Only the word of God. This man will come to do the work of Satan. Who is he? He's the Antichrist. Is the lawlessness around the world right now taking place in your day while we're in a pandemic? Is it a sign that the soon revealing of the Antichrist could take place? This man will come to do the work of Satan. He's powerful. With counterfeit power and signs and miracles, he will use every kind of evil deception. Here's the lying spirit. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction. Why would Ahab go into a battle that Micaiah said you're going to die if you walk in? Because he listened to the lying spirit. There are people sitting in this room right now that are highly likely. You also are right now listening to the lying spirit. I have to tell you that if you were honest, you do not have the spirit of truth in you. You're playing the same deadly game as Ahab. And if you enter this battle without the Holy Spirit, without the Spirit of Christ, you will not survive. Verse 10, he will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction. Because they refuse what? What are they refusing? To love and accept the truth. I'm holding it up to you. Only the word of God. What Micaiah said. I can't go along with you. Only the word of God. They refuse. to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will do what he did in Micaiah's place. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived. This is a prophetic thing. This is future. God will cause them to be greatly deceived and they'll believe the lies. You know what the lies are? Everything's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Everything's going to just poof, everything's going to be okay. No, no, it's not. And then they'll be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. To whom will you inquire in the time of testing? To whom will you seek the truth? Government? Doctors? Science? To whom right now are you putting your trust in? Money? Yourself? Your wisdom? So I'm going to ask everybody a question. I'm going to tell you where all this is going. Does everybody go to heaven? Does everybody survive the battle? The battle. You know, there's a battle of sin and death. Do you know anybody that's 135? Where are they? That's a big question. Where are they? Does everyone go to heaven? Will everyone be saved? Who wins in the coming battle? There is a battle that you cannot deny. You might refute what I'm saying that COVID-19 is just an opening door to something bigger that's coming. If you want to dispute that, fine, have at it. But ask, do you dispute the idea that there's a grave out in front of you? You think you're not going to die? If the Lord doesn't come, you think you're not going to die? Who's going to win that battle? You see, who you have in you before you enter that war will decide your outcome. Before you enter that war. The war of sin and death. You see, Jehoshaphat had in him the Lord, and when he cried out to the Lord in the battle, God rescued him. Ahab did not. Same story today. That's why the Old Testament still reveals the same truth as the New Testament. Does everyone go to heaven? Will everyone be saved? There are many false prophets and teachers out there today that preach with a lying spirit. Is there one in 400 that will only preach the word of God today? Is there one in 400 that'll stand up and say against everybody else, Ahab, you're going to die. And if you're in the room today and you're an Ahab, if you're in the room today, if you're listening online today and you're an Ahab, you're going to die. You will not survive the coming battle. And if you're a Jehoshaphat, you will. And if you're an Ahab, you won't. And the difference is what you have in you before the battle began. And what is the word? Nothing but the word. Is everything going to be okay? Ahab loved those 400 prophets because they always said, whatever you want to do will be okay. And Micaiah said, that's not how it works. Many are going to be lost in the coming spirit war. I read it. I've studied it. COVID-19 is not the battle, not the ultimate battle. Death in the grave is the battle. And who's going to survive this coming war? 1 Timothy 4:1. I can tell you what's coming. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow what? What turns you away from the true faith? They will follow deceptive spirits, lying spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars and their conscience is dead. So you can go to a person that's under this power of the lying spirit and you can say, and the word of the Lord says, and they'll slap you in the face. Their conscience is dead. They cannot see. They cannot see. Two kings and a lying spirit. Teachings that come from demons. Does everyone go to heaven? Will everyone be saved? Is everything going to be okay, preacher? Come on, preacher, just tell us everything's going to be okay. We'll go home, we'll go out to eat, we'll have a good time. Tell us everything's going to be okay. Will everyone survive the coming war? Let's ask Jesus, okay? Church. You're here today to worship Jesus. Well, let's worship him in spirit and in truth. Because here's what he says, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to ask everybody a question. Who's the not everyone? Who are they? Is it you? Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, let's see then who is. Only those. He didn't really mean this, does he? Only the word of the Lord. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter. Is that complicated? Anybody think this is too much for me to grasp? Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father. Only those under the influence of my Father. Not the influence of Jezebel. Not the influence of you. Not the influence of the lying spirit. The influence of my Father. You know how you get that influence? You die to you, and he comes inside of you, and he takes dominion over you, and then the lion spirit has to leave. That's it. Now, he's either living in you, reigning in you, or he isn't today. Why? Verse 22, on Judgment Day, and it's coming. Many, he didn't say a few, he didn't say one, many are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. But I, Jesus, will reply, the righteous judge, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who told you everything you need to know in advance before the battle. He says this, I will reply, I never knew you because you never knew me. You played Ahab's game. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Now, I'm going to ask everybody a question. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, I did this, I did that. You know who they are? You know who they are? Church people. Church people. And it's highly likely, I'm talking to some of them right now. It's not my job to know which one's which. I can't do it. I'm overwhelmed by the thought. Those are church people. You don't. Outside the church, people don't say, Lord, Lord, I did this, I did that. They don't ever say, Lord, Lord. Church people do. I went to church, I did this, I did that. He said, I don't know you. You never denied yourself. You never took up a cross and followed me. You never, who are you kidding? You know who's in charge of you? You. You know who your king is? You. You know who the ruler of your life is and the purpose of your life is? You. You have fallen for the lion spirit. You won't survive. And today is the day of salvation. Today the Holy Spirit offers Jesus. Jesus. I'm going to wrap this up. There's a great battle coming. I can tell you with all my heart, the Holy Spirit's telling me something's coming. I don't know what it is. When the enemies of God, I can tell you how it ends. That's probably how I ought to do this. There's a time coming when the enemies of God will be utterly destroyed. When the lying spirits and the false prophets and all the Ahabs, they're going to be totally destroyed. And the Antichrist is going to be destroyed. And the false prophet who works alongside the Antichrist is going to be destroyed. Satan's going to go into this abyss, this a prison thing. Everybody's going to be destroyed. In fact, there's a day coming when death itself will be destroyed. Death will be destroyed. Never again will there be anything die. Somebody say hallelujah. Death's going to be destroyed by this king that's coming. Two kings and a lying spirit. And I'm going to tell you the truth today. Jesus is coming one day, hopefully soon, to make war against the kingdoms of darkness. And all who, listen, and all, he's not just on making war against the kingdom of darkness, but all who have followed the lying spirit, he's going to come for war with them too. They're the enemies of God. And while the world is saying peace and safety, it's a lying spirit. And when the world looks at you and says, if you'll do this and this and this, everything's going to be okay, it's a lying spirit. Because I'm going to tell you, nothing's ever going to be okay as long as there's a grave out in front of you. Because there's something horrible on the other side of that grave. It's called eternity. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. This is prophetic. Now, concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write to you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night, when people are saying what? Everything's going to be okay. Peace and safety. And then disaster will fall on them suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no escape. So I'm going to tell you today, if you are an Ahab, listen to me carefully. Everything's not going to be okay. You will not survive the battle. You will die. If you're a Jehoshaphat today and you cry out to the Lord, that whom is inside of you before the battle ever began will carry you through the coming war. He is faithful. He will not leave you in that battle. As surely as the Lord lives, I will only say what God says. Today I stand with Micaiah, and I'm going to say it out loud. No matter what the government says to me, I'm going to stand with Micaiah. Remember when Micaiah prophesied the doom of Ahab and Zedekiah slaps his face? I'm still going to stand with Micaiah. And what about prison? What if they tell you you're going to go to prison if you don't stop that word of God only thing? I'm going to stand with Micaiah. And what if it's only bread and water? I guess I'm going to lose weight. Because there's something bigger than jail. You understand me? There's something bigger than jail. There's something bigger than a slapped face. And there's something bigger than the government making threats. It's called hell. And the lying spirits told a bunch of people in churches it's not real. And it is real. And that's where the Ahabs go. King Ahab hated the prophet Micaiah. Why? Because he wouldn't go along with the lying spirit. I'm not sure what happened to the prophet Micaiah after that scene. You know, the Bible doesn't really say. But I believe with all my heart, listen, one day I'm going to meet Micaiah in the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to get to know him. Two kings and a lion spirit. Next week's bad company. You got to hear how this thing ends. If you're in Christ today, I'm going to tell you, Satan hates you. Because you and I won't go along with the lion spirit. And everything's not going to be okay for the Ahabs. And if the Ahabs don't want to hear it, we still, by love and mercy of God, got to tell them. We got to tell them. You don't have to die. You don't have to enter into a battle that you're destined to fall in. Call out to God. Receive Christ. The word of God has made the coming battle for the throne of heaven and earth very clear. Satan and the lying spirit will lose, and they will be cast forever into the lake of fire. And whoever has fallen into the lying spirit is going to also fall into that same lake of fire. And if you choose that, you choose your own death. And I hear Jesus, the true and rightful King, say these final words to everyone today. Mark 13:13. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Two kings and a lion spirit. I'll ask Chad to come out. The king you follow today will be the one you spend eternity with. If you follow Christ, guess what? You're going to end up where he's at. That's what happens when you follow something. You end up where he's at. If you follow Satan, the lying spirit, you will end up where he's at. And whoever you have with you as you enter this coming battle will determine your outcome in advance. So today we're going to do something. We're going to offer an invitation. And if the Holy Spirit today has convicted you, pulled back the veil of darkness so you can see the truth, today receive Christ. Today receive Christ. Today, repent of your sins. Today, call upon the name of the Lord. Today, if you need to be baptized, be baptized. Today, whatever you need to do, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, today is the day of salvation. Father, in Jesus' name, would you do your work, your power? Let the wind blow through here. Bring your breath. Let the fire come. Set a holy fire inside of us, for we need you. In Jesus' name, and amen. Let's stand.